My heart grows in thanks as I gather around a bountiful table with friends and family that I love. We hold each other's hands. We bow our heads in thanks. But even as I pray in gratitude, I know Thanksgiving means more. It means more than one day of stopping the busyness to acknowledge the goodness. It means more than reaching out to those I love and then sending them on their way. It means more than bringing a platter of food, bringing a harvest bouquet, or boxing up old coats for the clothing drive. Thanksgiving means my heart opens from the moment my eyes do. It means my hand gives out so much of what comes in. And my time is not mine to hoard. Neither are my gifts. See, Thanksgiving means more than one day a year. More than one prayer at church. More than one selfless act. More than one generous handout. Thanksgiving always means more. And the God of giving, who fills us up whenever we ask, allows more to flow out as mighty rivers of gratitude and giving all year long. Thank you, Lord, that Thanksgiving means more. Amen.
Well, as you have been told, today's theme is around the idea of Thanksgiving. And I'm thankful to begin with that I've remembered my Bible and my notes. They're right here. Those of you here last week, you understand the kind of the inside comedy to that. And I know we have willing people here that would go get those notes again, so I appreciate that. So as we begin this morning, I would absolutely encourage you to intentionally and specifically take time to give thanks on Thanksgiving Day this week. Make sure you do that as part of your celebration, your gathering. That would be very, very appropriate to do that on Thanksgiving. But the video reminded us that as believers, Thanksgiving is more than just one day a year. Thanksgiving is more than just one prayer at church or one generous handout. The video highlighted the fact that Thanksgiving always means more. It always means more in the sense that it's more than just one day. So our time in God's Word this morning, we're going to spend it highlighting a few ways that I feel that you and I can be thankful, ways that we are called to be thankful. And the good news is the things we're going to talk about today are not just things that we would do just on one day, not just do them on Thanksgiving Day. These are things that we are called to do on a regular basis. And why would we do them on a regular basis? Because Thanksgiving means more. And so we're going to move to a couple different verses today. I hope that doesn't throw you off because I know you're used to settling into the Gospel of Mark. But I hope you have your Bibles ready to go. And Vince, you're going to hold off. Don't go to the verse until I tell them. That way they take the time to go there, all right? Because I don't want you to lead me too early there because they'll give up trying if we give them the verse too soon. Philippians chapter 1 is where I'd like you to go. In just a moment, it'll be on the screen for you to see, but I'd like you to see it in your Bibles as well. Philippians chapter 1 is where I'd like you to turn as we begin and just talk about some things that we need to be thankful for on a regular, consistent basis. So Philippians chapter 1, and we're going to be looking at verse number 3. As soon as I kind of hear the pages settle down, we'll allow Vince to advance that to the actual wording there. So, okay, I think you're okay, Vince. Thank you. So here's what the Apostle Paul writes. Verse number 3. I thank my God every time I remember you. And the you is talking about fellow believers, other Christians that he had met in his travels on missionary journeys, but in particular in the city of Philippi. So he says this away from that. He's writing a letter to them, so he's not with them at this time. But he says right at the beginning of this letter, hey, I want you to know something. I thank God every time I remember you, believers in the city of Philippi. It brings warmth to my heart to remember you. So here's the first thing that we can be thankful for. We can be thankful for other believers. We can be thankful for other believers. And in your sermon guide, I left you lots of space because we're going to talk about some things. And if you choose to write them down, that's up to you. But I thought I'd give you the main headings at least for today. So be thankful for other believers. That's one way we can be doing this on a regular basis. But what exactly does that look like? Well, I'm going to give you some examples of what it looks like to be thankful for other believers. First of all, we can encourage and support them in their faith journey. Encourage or support them in their faith journey. I just want you to know that when you folks, and many of you have done this, when you folks tell Nick or myself or kind of email us or text us or do different things, and you just communicate that you're praying for us and encouraging us and supporting us in our faith journey, that means a lot to us. Because in case you don't know, pastors don't have it all together, never have. And we are walking this faith journey with you. So when you come alongside of us and say, hey, we're supporting you, we're encouraging you, that means a lot. When you give thanks in that way, that means a lot. Pam and I received a card this week from somebody, a Thanksgiving card. It's just beautiful from a couple in the church just thanking us for our faith journey, our faith example to them. Like, wow. And that's on our island and our kitchen. And that we read that and you're like, okay, I guess we can get up tomorrow and do another day. So be thankful in that way. Here's another way you can encourage them as far as what that looks like. Thank them for the influence they have been in your life. We probably all have people in our lives who have been an influence to us in our faith journey. And we need to thank them for that. More than just on Thanksgiving. I mean, sometimes we do that, but more than just Thanksgiving, we need to thank those people in our lives who have had an influence in our lives as it relates to our spiritual journey. One particular person that has really been a big part of my faith journey is Pam's dad. And I know God has decided to bring him on his journey that he doesn't remember necessarily all those things now, but I still take the opportunity when I can to say, Dad, thanks. He was my soccer coach. He yelled at me and keep running. I was just a kid on the soccer team before I became son-in-law, and he's been in my life for several decades as a wonderful example of God's goodness, and he's been just a godly influence, and Pam's mom as well, and my own family. But just those people, identify them. And again, you look, hey, how do I do that? You can verbalize it to them. That's okay. You could send them a text, an email. Some of you do it the old-fashioned way, the old-school way. You actually write a note and put a stamp on it. Some of you are like, what's a stamp? Well, you need a couple, no, not a couple dollars, but you need some money, but you send them a card. Don't you love getting mail that's not junk mail? All right? You love getting a card where someone's handwritten, hey, thank you for who you are in my life. Go ahead and do that. If you want to do that this week, you are absolutely allowed to do that. So here's another way we can be thankful for other believers. By being engaged with church. That's a way you show thanksgiving to other believers, by being engaged or being involved in church. You say, what does that really mean? Well, I'm just saying, if we are truly thankful for each other, guess what? We will worship together, we will serve together, we will learn together, we will grow together, we will laugh together, we will cry together, and all of that happens within the body of Christ, one another's both corporately here and in other ways. So if you want to give thanks to other believers, I'm just going to tell you pastorally, come to church. Because this is where it happens, where you give thanks to each other. Let me read a couple verses for you from Hebrews chapter 10. They're familiar to some of you, but maybe not to others. Here's what it says. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. So you gather together to encourage or spur one another on for love and good deeds. I believe that these verses are not just about rebuking people for missing church. They're really not really primarily about that. They're really talking about They're kind of encouraging us about don't miss the people at church. Don't miss spending time with the people at church and being there, because when you're there, you have opportunities to be thankful with them. And that's what it looks like. I want to read something I received from a church member last week that illustrates exactly what I'm talking about gathering together. This was unsolicited, and this was sent before this message was even prepared, just for, timeline's sake. The person writes this. I'm always excited to come to church on Sunday morning. I could just stop there and go make that into a bumper sticker, okay? Put that on all your cars. I'm always excited to come to church on Sunday morning to worship together and be with my family, my people. I love this. I often feel the same excitement for Sunday morning as some feel going to visit family they love and miss. For some reason, on the way to church and from church last Sunday, I felt especially thankful more than usual. Why? Because I got to be with God's people. That's a way that we can be thankful for other believers. The final suggestion I want to give to you comes right from our text. And that is we can be thankful for other believers in the most practical way by praying for them. Praying for them. Let me read the rest, or not the rest, but the verse following Philippians chapter 1, verse 3. And some of you still have your Bibles open and you can look there. He says, I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day till now. So one of the ways that we can be thankful for each other is to pray for each other. That's how we bless and encourage each other as believers. So be thankful for other believers, perhaps very specifically by thanking them today, sending a card to someone today, send an email this week, a text this week, encouraging them, supporting them in their journey, or thanking them for the influence. Maybe you want to encourage them in a church setting or pray for them. That would be wonderful. I'm giving you permission to do this year-round. Be thankful for other believers. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, second opportunity to turn in your Bibles. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Just go to the right a little bit. Take a right. Just a little, that's right. If you get to Timothy, take a left. And if you're really not sure how this all works, you should become an Awana worker, or put your kids in Awana. You'll learn the books of the Bible in order. That'll be just be seared in your brain. My wife can do them backwards, forwards, and Greek. I'm just kidding. But she knows it's all there. It's all from Awana. That was a shameless plug right there. Okay. First Thessalonians, you're there? 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, Thessalonians, verse 18. Go ahead. I love this. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. For first of all, we saw to be thankful for other believers. Secondly, this is a tough one, be thankful in all circumstances. I'm not going to ask you to say this out loud, but if you had the opportunity to edit that verse, what word would you take out? You're not supposed to answer. Remember, you don't have to answer. Just in your mind, what word might you take out in that verse? I have my favorite. Be thankful in all circumstances. I want to point out two things just to begin with, and then I want to unpack this a little bit because this is a tough one. This is a tough one. I mean, maybe on Thanksgiving it's not so hard, but then there's like the day after Thanksgiving and then a week from Thanksgiving, and then there's March when we still have snow and whatever. Two things I want to point out to you. First of all means all. I know that's profound. You might want to write that down. All means all. Literally, it means in each and every part of our life. That's what it means. In each and every part of our life, we are to be thankful. So what does that mean? The good and the bad. The calm and the chaos, the joy and the sorrow, the delight and the despair. All things, give thanks. That's the first thing. Secondly, it is clearly stated that to be thankful in all situations or all circumstances is part of God's clear revealed will for all of His children. Maybe that's even tougher. Like, okay, I got to be thankful in all circumstances. Maybe I'll do it every once in a while, but it's not that big of a deal. It is a big deal because it says this is God's will for us to do this. So now I'm feeling a little backed into a corner here because I realize all means all, and I'm supposed to do that. And then I realize if I'm going to really please God with my life, I need to be consistently giving Him thanks in all circumstances. So now my back's against the wall. I'm going, how in the world is this even possible? Because I know some of the circumstances that I am going through, and you have those same types of circumstances that you are going through, have gone through, or will continue to go through, and you're like, okay, I get it. I understand it means all. I get it that it's God's will, but how in the world am I going to do this? Well, I want to give you some suggestions about how what that looks like. But first of all, none of this is going to happen unless we really kind of lean into the power of the Holy Spirit. That's one. That's an advantage that we have over non-believers, that we have the Holy Spirit living in us, that can produce fruit in us that's not possible apart from Christ. So here's some just encouraging things I want you to think about. How in the world is this possible to be thankful in all circumstances? First of all, we can be thankful in all circumstances because, listen, the person of God never, ever changes. Amen. Amen. The person of God never changes. I would be very discouraged and probably a little bit, uneasy if I thought that God's person would change in the midst of circumstances, ebb and flow, and that when things got tough for me, God would kind of pull away. And if things were going good, he'd kind of be like, yeah, that's me. And if that was the case, I'd be a little nervous about that. But the person of God does not change, which means I can give thanks in how many circumstances? All circumstances. Here's what I mean. God remains good, faithful, and sovereign in all circumstances. God remains good, faithful, and sovereign in all circumstances. In all circumstances, his goodness doesn't diminish, his faithfulness does not fray, and his sovereignty is not surprised. I can give thanks because I know that I am sometimes surprised by the circumstances in my life, and so are you. I'm surprised even in the circumstances of other people's lives, the twists and turns that they take. And I'm like sometimes surprised in a way like, ooh, did they see that coming? I didn't see that coming. I'm so thankful. I can be thankful in those circumstances because God never steps back and goes, didn't see that coming. Isn't that a reason to give thanks? The person of God does not change. I love what Tim Keller said. Suffering is unbearable if you aren't certain that God is for you and with you. But I'm certain of that, so it is bearable. Here's another reason why we can be thankful in all circumstances, not just because of the person of God not changing. We can also be thankful because of the theology of suffering that's taught in the Bible. Do you know there's a theology of suffering in the Bible? And unless you have a really kind of edited Bible, you're going to notice there's some suffering and challenging circumstances there. And the theology of suffering allows us to be thankful in all circumstances in this way. My Bible, your Bible, teaches that God can and does use difficult and all circumstances in our life for ultimate lasting good. He can do that. And for that, I can be thankful. Do you believe that God can do that? We up here, right? Yeah, we do. We say it. We know it, but it's not easy. Listen to these verses. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I would encourage you to go back to these at some point. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes on what is seen, not on what is unseen, since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. God's at work for eternity and for now, doing a work in our lives beyond our understanding, and for that we can be thankful. I think the theology of suffering is important because it also reminds us that all of our circumstances are in the hands and will of our loving Father. You with me on that? So I can be thankful for that because the theology of suffering teaches me that God does have a purpose. He does have a purpose. And finally, as it relates to theology of suffering, I think we can be thankful in the midst of suffering in all circumstances because contentment is possible. Is contentment possible in all circumstances according to God's word? Yes. Only a few of you want to say that because then you're like, then I have to do it. Okay, like the patience thing. It is possible through the power of the Holy Spirit to be content in all circumstances. It's called obedience. It is possible. It's not easy, but it's possible. So we can be thankful for that because I would be really, again, discouraged if I knew that God has called me or called you to be thankful in all circumstances, but he will not give us the power to be content in those. That would be discouraging if we didn't have that ability to do that. But through the Holy Spirit, we do have the ability to do that. We can be content. And I also would say that we should be thankful because we can be content. And we should also be thankful because the alternative is complaining. And we know that doesn't please God. So we have the ability to be thankful. And the alternative is not that great. So, hey, let's talk about this. Be thankful for other believers. Be thankful in all circumstances. Now I'm going to really send you on a journey. First Chronicles. Those of you that are looking ahead in your sermon guide. First Chronicles. Yeah, find the Kings and the Samuels. It's in that area. Okay. First and Second Samuel, First and Second Kings, First and Second Chronicles. I think I did that review in my mind this morning. Find that. Find First Chronicles chapter 16. I just want to be helpful. Old Testament. Don't go to Corinthians. That's the last one we're going to. So Chronicles, it looks a lot alike, but you'll be vastly misled if you go to that. First Chronicles chapter 16. As you're finding your way there, this is a chapter that talks about a setting where the Ark of the Covenant is being brought before the people and they're worshiping God, and it has verses about the goodness of God. But I want you to see verse number 34. Remember, we're talking about being thankful, other believers in all circumstances. Verse 34, it says, "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is what? Good. His love endures forever." Third way to be thankful. Be thankful for the character of God. Be thankful for the character of God. I am not sure how many times I'm going to have to say it. Be thankful for the character of God. Thank you. This is great, right? The character of God. The attributes of God. So here's what I have you do. 30 seconds. You can do it in your small group if you'd like. Like, don't get up, but like your group there. I'd like you to take some space in your bulletin. 30 seconds. I would like you to write down some of your favorite characteristics or attributes of God that you are thankful for. Right now. Go ahead. Go. Live stream, this is your 30-second opportunity to do this at home. Okay, so you can continue to do that, but here's what we're going to do. Psalm 100 and verse 4 says this, "Enter his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise." And back then, that kind of meant the temple or kind of other worship settings. For us, it's going to be right here. So enter his gates, enter his church right here with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. So this is what I'm going to ask you to do. We'll just kind of go back and forth for a few moments. I just want you to call out one of those attributes. We're going to give thanks to the Lord for his character this morning. And I'm going to repeat it, not because I just like to copy you, but the live stream can hear what you're saying. So over here, one. Give me one. Merciful God. Holy. Forgiveness. Oh, that was together. Personal. Wisdom. Just. Steadfast. Almighty. Love. Trustworthy. Comforter. Perfect. Sacrifice. Doesn't change. All-knowing. All-knowing. Amazing. John. Loving. Ever-present. All right, you guys, did a, let's give yourselves a hand. You did a great job. So my God, I didn't write any of those down. You can watch it later and write them all down. So be thankful for the character of God on a regular basis. That's a good thing to do. Be thankful for the character of God. So be thankful for other believers in all circumstances for the character of God. Last one, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, because we have some things we're going to be doing here at the end of the service. So 1 Corinthians chapter 15, I invite you to turn there. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, you're going to make your way to verse number 57. 1 Corinthians 15 in verse 57. So as you're turning there, I know live stream is going to hear this, but it'll probably be helpful to do this. Let me see here. Mike, would you help me? I'm not sure about my time. I might be ending a little bit earlier than they thought. Could you find Nick and Eric and Kara? They might be in that back Sunday school room because they're going to be on in just a few moments, and I don't see them anyplace. They may be right out in the foyer, but if you don't mind checking for me, I appreciate it. That gave you enough time, didn't it? 1 Corinthians 15, verse 57. Here we go. It says, "But thanks be to God, He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." Last thing, at least for today, that I think we should be thankful for on a consistent basis is this. Be thankful for what's to come. Be thankful for what's to come. Here's why. Listen to this. I love this verse because it's a capstone of this chapter. This verse that we just read culminates an entire chapter written by the Apostle Paul that argues for the reality of the bodily resurrection of Christ, its impact on our sins and being really forgiven, and death being defeated. It's a culmination of that. That's why it's victorious. In addition, the reality of Christ's resurrection, listen, guarantees the bodily resurrection of His followers and that this life is not all that there is. Thanks be to God for the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. As a matter of fact, according to this verse, it guarantees that in our future resurrected body, we will experience the new heaven and new earth with no more pain, suffering, sorrow, or death. And the list can go on and on. So there's more to come, so be thankful. In Christ, we always have something to be thankful for. And what's to come? We certainly have much to be thankful for and many ways that we can be thankful for on a regular basis. So this morning, we're going to be thankful for those who are seeking to join us in membership and a few people that are going to be baptized. So while I go into baptism mode, which means I go this way and our baptism candidates go that way, Pastor Nick is coming to introduce our new member candidates.
To present to you a couple that's stepping forward for membership. So it's Eric and Kara Regelman, and at this time they're going to give their testimonies. Let's go.
Good morning. Prior to placing my faith in Christ, I was a sinful child in need of salvation. By God's grace, I accepted this gift at a young age. On December 6, 1998, I asked my parents if I had ever asked Jesus into my heart after church one Sunday, to which they responded they didn't believe so. My dad explained the gospel to me, and then I prayed and asked Jesus into my heart. This last year, my spiritual walk with Christ has differed from years prior because I have become a mom. Becoming a mom has enabled me to see characteristics and attributes of God in a new way. There are aspects of His fatherly nature that I do not think were possible for me to fully grasp before having a child of my own. I find this refreshing and comforting as I journey further into motherhood and continue to understand more of the Father's love and care for us as His children. I would like to become a member of this church because I desire for our family to attend a church that does not compromise or shy away from the truth of the Bible. I value the church's core values. I appreciate the community and the love the church demonstrates to those who attend and the genuine care they have for their members. I also appreciate the numerous opportunities to serve inside and outside of Sunday morning services, as well as the emphasis the church places on missions, sending teams to minister to those who are serving in the field on a daily basis.
Good morning, I'm Eric Regelman. So before I placed my faith in Christ, I was also a young child. I believe I was about 4 years old, but Romans teaches that I too was dead in my sin and without hope apart from God. I first remember learning about Jesus and his work on the cross at Sunday school at Webster Bible Church, which prompted me to later ask my parents questions about salvation. Once I understood that I had sinned and needed to trust Jesus to cleanse me, to experience life with him, I prayed and knelt with my parents and received Christ. During the past year, I've grown in the knowledge of God's word and fellowship with others. I'm learning that patient obedience and striving to look less like the world and more like Christ. I pray that God will mold me for his purposes and that I would be receptive to his shaping. As a new father, I have a fresh lens through which I see God. I've come to rest in his unchanging nature, sacrificial love, and his many promises. When I struggle, I'm thankful for his fatherly patience with me as his adopted son. I'm thankful for this church's unapologetic adherence to the authority of Scripture and the demonstrated passion for unbelievers in our community and abroad. I want to be a member of this church to increase my relationship with God, to be accountable to the local church body, and to serve others more effectively. Thanks.
Eric and Kara have been through our Discover BBC class. They have gone through the membership process. They have been recommended by Pastor Jay and myself, as well as the Deacon Board for membership. So with that said, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
And all opposed? No one. Okay. Welcome one more time into membership. Thank you.
You know, Eric was worried I was going to say something, but hey, thanks for letting the kids in. I appreciate it. We're excited to have them serving with us. We really are. We have a couple people that are going to be coming for baptism, but I wanted just to quickly review what we're doing here and what that means. I think that's important for us to understand as a church. Water baptism is far more than a ritual or religious exercise. It's a public outward declaration that reflects a personal inward faith. Baptism declares that you are a follower of Jesus Christ. It is a public confession of your faith in and commitment to Jesus Christ. And we do this or encourage people to do this because Christ commanded us to be baptized. The meaning of baptism is that it's a visible act with a very spiritual meaning. We want to make sure you understand it. It pictures the gospel, and I'll explain that in just a moment. But I also want you to know that baptism does not save anybody. In the scripture, it clearly teaches this order: believe, then baptize. Not baptize, then believe. There's a very specific order. So as they come today, they're declaring first their commitment to Christ and then the outward expression of this in their baptism. The meaning of baptism is also important because it connects us to the body of Christ. One of the ways I try to get people to get baptized and be okay with it or be kind of secure in it is the fact that when you get baptized in front of our church people, they will celebrate with you. They will cheer this a moment in your life, right? Yeah, okay, go and do that. Because you're welcoming them into the body of Christ kind of in that journey. So that's good to know. So you're going to see in a moment that they're going to stand next to me, and then I'm going to lower them into the water and raise them back out. That is on purpose. There's a reason why we use immersion, water baptism, in that way, because it's a beautiful and accurate picture of the gospel of Jesus Christ. He was on the cross for us. We identify with that. He was buried. But if he stayed buried, we'd be dead in our sins. And so he rose from the dead. So I start here with the folks, put them in the water, and they want me to raise them out because they identify with the full picture of the gospel. That's the meaning of what we do. And it's for people who have placed their faith in Jesus Christ and are old enough to make that particular decision. So come on down.
Hi, my name is Anna Zarek. I've always grown up in the church for as long as I can remember. Going to Christian schools up to high school, I've always had God in my education, in my everyday life. While going through high school, my faith was tested and I started to pull away from God, and my faith was like shaky. I went to the Dominican Republic this past summer, and that's when I fully committed my life to God. I accepted Christ into my life at the age of 4, but throughout high school, I doubted my faith many times. I would say after this trip to the Dominican, I recommitted my life to God, and while I'm at Liberty, I strive to learn more about Him and learn more each day what it's like to be a follower of Jesus Christ. My spiritual walk in the past year has been the most eye-opening of who God is. It first started when I went to the Dominican Republic trip for the second time, where my faith grew tremendously. I've had a lot of highs and a ton of lows when it comes to my mental health, but going through Christian counseling, I learned how big our God is and how much He loves me and how He has a plan for me. Being a freshman at Liberty University and being surrounded by people who love the same God as I do, and having a Christian-based education grew my spiritual life. My name is Anna Zark, and I'm a follower of Jesus Christ.
Anna, based on your profession of faith, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
My life prior to
being... Why don't you introduce yourself first?
Okay, you want to know who I am. I'm Fran Murdoch. I've been here for about a year or so. My parents took us to church every Sunday. I don't remember not going. I attended Sunday school, Christian Endeavor, Bible education, Friday after school youth group. When my parents could afford it, I was able to attend a week at Camp Laterno in the summer. We always said grace at mealtime, but we never discussed anything about God or the Bible or the life and death and resurrection in our home. And we went to the Laurelton United Presbyterian Church. I was 14 years old, had a weekend retreat at Camp Laterno. When I stood up before the people gathered there, mostly kids, but some parents also, and testified that Jesus Christ was my Savior. God gave me the strength to stand up and talk in front of people. I've continued my growth in knowing God's word. The last year helped me to understand the Bible better and what it really means to follow Christ. I feel I've found a church body that is made of people that relate to God and His word in a manner that supports my beliefs and can help me continue to grow in my spiritual life. I've asked God to introduce me to His people, and I found some of them, more of them, here.
For a second. I'm just interrupting you because the next part she's going to read, she has also gone through the Discover class, and she is being recommended for membership. She's going to tell you why, and then we'll do the vote, and then I will baptize her. So go ahead.
I feel that this is a church body that can offer me the support I need in growing in my spiritual life. This is a growing church that can allow me to serve the church community as well as the local community and the world body of Christ through its support of missions. It's family oriented. My name is Fran Murdoch, and I am a follower of Jesus.
So based on the recommendation from the pastors and deacon board who are going through the class and now going through baptism, we would like to recommend her for membership. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Fran.
Yes.
Based on your profession of faith, I baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Why don't you stand with me? I'm going to ask you to do something real crazy, but not super crazy. Stand with me. Form kind of like a whole big thing around the outside of the pews there. Just move. We're going to sing the doxology together. You don't have to hold hands if you're still worried about all the stuff that other people have. That's fine. But let's. You can form it all the way in the front, too. Come on there. Here we go. All the way in the back. That way they can hear your beautiful voices. Make sure we go in front of the sound booth too. We can't break the chain there. Hopefully you won't need the words, but they're behind you, but I don't think you're going to need them. If you want to hold hands, you can. This is kind of our end here. You ready? You folks ready?
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him all creatures here below. Praise Him above ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.
You are dismissed.